بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Ibn Ridov, Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullahi, made wuzu in the best possible manner that he could, all the adab, and thereafter he performed two rakats namaz with all devotion, sincerity, and with the presence of mind. And after having made wuzu and performing namaz with all sincerity, so he prayed to Allah Ta'ala that I want to see what is the reward for this. So he sees a beautiful girl in the hoors of Jannat, and everything in her is flawless. Everything, no flaw, no weakness. But when he saw her a little bit carefully, then he saw that she was blind. Anyway, he reported this whole experience to Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Hadi Sahib explained that perhaps that namaz that you had performed, you had performed it with your eyes closed. Yes, this is what I did, just to increase my concentration. I did close my eyes and perform my two rakats of namaz. So well, no matter what intentions you have done it with, but it is not in keeping with the sunnah. Hence, therefore, you saw this defect in the reward. So every action, small or big, for that action to gain this level of acceptance, there must be the conformity with the sunnah. Yesterday we were discussing Surah Fatiha, and then I explained with the grace of Allah Ta'ala that there are several things that can be learnt in Surah Fatiha. One thing is Tawheed fil Ibadat. In Ibadat, in our dedication, in our service to Allah Ta'ala, then we don't join any person in the worship of Allah Ta'ala. So that's Tawheed fil Ibadat. Then they will talk about Shirk Khafi, Shirk Jali, every type of shirk, every type of association we would avoid. One is that shirk that we know, like bowing down to an idol or worshipping a idol, etc., a statue, etc. Shirk al-Jali, we know about it. But even that shirk that is a little bit discreet, like for example, we're doing it to impress on someone else, doing it for show. So it is not that first category of shirk, but it is definitely shirk al-Khafi. It's a discreet, subtle way of shirk. Because that worship requires that you do it entirely for Allah Ta'ala. Now you're doing it for Allah Ta'ala and to impress upon this person here. So where's the Tawheed then? Nabi strictly warns that if you're doing it for someone else, then Allah Pak doesn't want that prayer. He doesn't want that namaz. He doesn't want that worship. For me or nothing. Me or nothing. One of the two. He doesn't want any type of partnership. So every type of shirk, whether it is shirk khafi, shirk jali, all these type of shirk must be avoided entirely for your namaz or for your worship or for any ibadah to gain acceptance. One is the conformity to the sunnah, and one is this aspect of tawheed fil ibadat. Normally, for convenience purposes, when I translate ibadat, then I say, use the word service instead of saying ibadat. So we serve you, or we are in your service. You alone do we serve. One is to say we worship you alone, and the other is to say we serve you alone. We are in your service, only in your service. So this has a broader meaning than worship. When you talk about worship, then person's mind goes just on namaz or some act of ibadat.
And
service has a broader meaning. So when you say we serve Allah Ta'ala in every facet of our life, our idea is service to Allah Ta'ala. Right? Outwardly it may seem that it is something that is material or worldly, but we are doing this, and we are doing it in this way. Why? Because Allah Pak wants it in this way, therefore we are doing it in this way, so we are in the service of Allah Ta'ala. Someone is eating, so he's eating in a certain way. Why is eating in that way, in that particular way? It's because Allah Ta'ala wants it in that way. So I'm eating, I'm enjoying personally. Personally I'm enjoying, but this is because I want to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whichever way. Some students, they're making a lot of dua to have a death in the Haramain, Makkah or Medina. I say it's great. Nobody can say that it's not a great thing, it's not an act of excellence, not something of virtue. But the greater thing, in my understanding, is the adherence to the Sunnah. So, one who's got the adherence to the Sunnah, and he's dying here, or he's dying in Medina Munawara, then really this is a death of excellence. But if he's died in the Haramain, but not in conformity with the Sunnah, then this is not on. He died in Makkah or Medina Munawara, but there wasn't that level of conformity that was desired. So you will not say that he got that level of acceptance. See, Abu Jahl, where he died at Badr, right? Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul died in Medina. Abu Lahab died in Makkah Mukarrama. But is that a virtuous death? Are these virtuous deaths? Why? Against the Sunnah, against the way that was prescribed, Allah Ta'ala or His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So in spite of the place, but there's no conformity. So the greater thing is the conformity. So the hadith also say, the person that is closest to me is... was that hadith? Inna awla an-nasi bi al-muttaqoon. Yeah. The one that is mindful of Allah Ta'ala. Wherever he is, but he's mindful. He's conscious. He's not unmindful of Allah Ta'ala. So because of him being mindful of Allah Ta'ala in any situation, he's cautious, he's careful as to what he does. See, Allah Pak doesn't like this carelessness. Just do things randomly, just do it. Coming to the masjid just however you want, and sitting in the masjid but however you want. Allah Pak doesn't like that. But you're doing it with that consciousness, that frame of mind that is the house of Allah Ta'ala. How, in what state do you leave your home to come to the house of Allah Ta'ala? What are the type of steps? Do you come running? Do you come darting into the house of Allah Ta'ala? Do you come singing and shouting? How do you do it? You come into the masjid, then how do you conduct yourself? With care, with caution, with fear. أُولَٰئِكَ مَا كَالَ لَهُمْ أَيَّدْ خُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ. Coming with fear, coming with the right leg, then reciting the dua, then not inconveniencing any person outside the masjid or inside the masjid. Then inconveniencing will refer to several things. One is you have got a foul odor, right, on your clothing or in your hands, something that is not doesn't have a good odor, right. So the hadith says that when you come in with something that doesn't have a good odor, good smell, right, and you come into the masjid, then the masjid shrinks away. Shrinking means, according to my understanding, the very ruh of the masjid shrinks away. So when the roof of the masjid shrinks away, then this visit is not going to be beneficial to you. Because of your presence and your smell, the very roof, the very essence of the masjid has shrunken away. When it's shrunken away, how are you going to get that benefit? The masjid, as though the masjid is feeling uncomfortable with your presence. Because you did not understand what Allah Ta'ala wants, what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wants. You weren't conscious about it. You weren't bothered about how you come. just came in. See? So that coming in is great, is appreciated. But then in which way should you be entering? How do you come in? There is one hadith, Allah, la salata lahum, wa la zakata lahum, wa la hajja lahum hatta yatub. Until you come right. Come right, all these actions gain the acceptance. But you're doing the work, but no adherence to the sunnah, not understanding, then how do you want these actions to gain that acceptance, right? So whether you are spending thousands, hundreds, or millions, but see that there is that conformity in every action. We're taking an example like coming to the masjid, but now what Allah Pak wants? So that's topmost on your mind, that I'm coming to the masjid, and what my Allah Ta'ala wants. You know, yesterday or the day before, so I explained some of the actions that are most liked, afdalun nas, who is most liked, who is best. Right. So there's several hadith in this respect. One hadith says that the one that is best to people, afdalu ila iyalihim, that as though the creation are the children of Allah Ta'ala, the one that is best to people, to the creation, then he is the best. Right? And the other hadith that he read yesterday, the day before yesterday, was about kullu makhmumul qalb and salimu sadr. Kullu makhmumul qalb was salimu sadr. The best person is that person whose heart is swept all the time. Makhmum refers to sweeping. And salim, sound and clean, right? So his heart is clean and sound. He's cleaning it all the time. So when you say he's cleaning it all the time, the understanding that we get is that when you come into this planet, then you're going to be confronted with situations where your heart is going to get affected. Someone is going to say something, someone is going to do something, someone is going to behave in a certain way that you may get affected. Now, with all that, in spite of you being on this planet, and in spite of the ill treatment or the words that were given to you, then too you are cleaning your heart all the time. Mahmoom. See the word, choice of the word. Mahmoomul qalb. Clean your heart all the time. So, Al-Mu'ad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, some murid of his complained that I have some reservation for a certain person. Heart doesn't feel so clear, doesn't feel so good towards this person here. So obviously that person is writing up to him for his reformation and correction. I feel reserved, I have some feelings about the person, wrong feelings, don't feel too good about the person. So that's going to happen. I explained to you in this earth here, and in this earth we're going to be confronted with different situations. And that's going to impact differently to our minds, to our hearts. Right? But now that it's impacting on him in a different way, he's concerned. His relationship with the Shaykh, Hazrat Mu'adh Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, is for Islah. And Islah will require that you relate, that you got that relationship with Islah, but you're not relating, then it's wrong. Then you are not right. Then again, this goes against the Sunnah. Because when you took bayat at the person's hand, then the reason for the bayat was to make total tawbah. Tawbah karta, it's the type of words that they use, making tawbah from this and this and this, whatever, whatever. So tawbah will then, what will it require? Tawbah will require that you leave out the way that was inappropriate, not right, come onto the path that was right. That is the requirement of tawbah. You discovered something that is not right, now you moved away from that path onto the path that is right. So tawbah has that meaning of reverting, returning, right? So you left the way that was not right, came onto the way that was right. So that's the essence of tawbah. But now I ask you, if you have taken bayat and then you're experiencing something and you're not correcting yourself, you can see that it's lingering, it's a problem. And you're not asking for any guidance. One is, you found the solution to it, very good. One is, you can't find the solution, and you're living with that wrong. you can't find the solution and you're living with that wrong. Now I ask you, is that in keeping with the spirit of the promise and the commitment that you made? You made a commitment with the Shaykh that you will leave these things out here, you leave all the wrong, those things that are the cause of the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala, you will leave that out. And you're seeing that this problem is there with you. And you are in it, you're involved in it, you're not thinking and contemplating to turn away from it. So I ask you, is it in the spirit of this promise, this commitment that you have made? So this is the meaning of Sunnah. See? Understanding, get the right understanding of Sunnah. These people in the past, they were very true, very honest in their ways, mannerisms, commitments that they made. Then they saw, they inspected themselves all the time. Are we committed or not? Are we committed or not? A few days ago, Maulana read that article of Maulana Hassan Shah. Hassan Shah. So now, this person would not seem to be a very educated person. But now he's taken bayat at the hands of Hazrat Maulana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Right. Look at his ways. He's got an invite from Calcutta for the foundation laying. Whatever it was, house, masjid, madrasa, whatever, foundation laying. So he responded. And then he saw a young alim, Ihtishamul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, whose brother passed away yesterday. Maulana Iftikhar Sahib. You saw him. Kandla. Which year? Yeah. And what you learned by him? Huh? What? Yeah, mashallah. That 2003, he remembers everything, mashallah. Whilst we were there, so he gave us the honor to share hadith, you know, about Zamzam. He passed on the Zamzam, all drank, and then he gave us the hadith, Zamzam lima shuri balahu. So, Zamzam has that effect that what intentions you have drunken that Zamzam with, that you will enjoy that. You've drunken it for a certain reason, for example, shifa, cure, then you will enjoy that. You know. So these things that we learn, see, you know, they often impress Buzugan Adin ka tariqa, the ways of our elders, the ways of our Buzugan Adin. What do you mean? What do you mean really is they understood Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They understood the Sahaba Kiram. And they understood it better than all of us, right? Right. Now, if we have the level of confidence in this Akabir, then we'll conform. But why he did this? Why he did this? This apparently is not in keeping with the Sunnah. Now, do we have that level of understanding? That level of understanding they have is different to your level of understanding. They were drowning in the love of Nabi Sallallahu, in the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu. So that Sunnah became like the tabiat, it became natural for them. They were so deeply immersed in the Sunnah as though the Sunnah became their tabiat, their very nature, it became natural to practice the Sunnah. Which we are still scratching the surface. They were so deep inside. Then we don't have the confidence in them. Then where will we get the adherence? We're not going to get the adherence. Everything now you think, hey, is this right? There's some suspect here, suspicion here. There's a doubt here. Everything that you're doing or they're doing, then you have some reservation. Then you can't come on. So we need to have that level of confidence. You got that confidence. You saw it and you're conforming. You saw it and you're conforming. So what's in the heart of that elder, it is flowing into your heart. It's just a clear flow. He's finding it so easy to instruct you, to guide you. Because what's there, it is flowing. But everything he's doing now, you've got a reservation. Everything he's doing, how long is it going to take? Mighty long time, right? So this Hassan Shah we're talking about, so he was the murid of Maulana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. But now look, that association and the contact that he had, and what did he do? What a revolution he created in his own mind. So all respected him, all the great ulama ikram, Hussein Ahmad Madani Ahmadullah Ali, Shaykh al-Islam, everybody respected him. So he didn't just keep it as a respect. What he found not right, then he would correct it, he would rectify it. So he saw that Hazrat Shaykh al-Islam rahmatullah alayhi was applying khizab to the beard. Maybe it was a little bit more blackish than brownish or reddish, right? So he explained to Hazrat Shaykh al-Islam sahab rahmatullah alayhi, you see, before you were a mujahid because you were trying to expel the English out of India. Now they've been expelled, right? They're out of India. So now this jihad doesn't remain like it was. So now this coloring your beard now or dyeing the beard now is not right for you now. So the Shaykh al-Islam rahmatullah alayhi, he was an ocean of knowledge. He had the hadith, everything in him. He could justify his action. He said, no, I'm going to accept what you say. Straight away. The man is saying it, and straight away he's accepting it. Whereas if you look at the status of the person, he's just a peer by, because Shaykh al-Islam also connects to Mohammad Gangohi, and he also connects to the same. But now, with that respect and the love and the clarity of the heart, you know, he's told me I'm going to do it. On the Dastar Khan one day, there was some person that was ailing, so there was some variety of food, second, third variety of food. And so now this person says, where's the sunnah gone? These varieties on your table, where's the sunnah gone? Now look at the Shaykh Islam Rahmatullah's immediate response. His immediate response is, where do you find a person like me adhering to the sunnah? That's the word he used. I am just the dog of my stomach. You know, I'm a man of temptation. So I'm far away from this. Whereas the Shaykh Islam Rahmatullah was so conscious about the sunnah that he comes from Faizabad. And Faizabad and that district around, they speak a very eloquent level of Urdu, right? Very eloquent, right? Now he forced himself when he came across the hadith that Nabi Sam's speech used to be such that every word could be counted. Lo addahu addun la addahu. Person will be able to count the exact words. These are the words that he used. So he would speak in such a way that person is listening, he could count the actual words that he was speaking. So he brought himself to that level that every word was distinct from the next. And he went through a lot of difficulty to get this right. The hadith, it is reported that when someone would clasp or shake hands, make musafa with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would not be the first one to pull his hands away. But now, people, you get all types. You know, dunya mein har kisam ke log aate hain. Aur mumtahin bhi bahut hote hain. Or people will do, they want to examine you now, they'll try you out. If one person tries you out, it's alright. But 50 people come and try you out then. Now, just to see now, that Hazrat is practicing the hadith, that he wouldn't be the first one to take away his hand. The man kept the hand for 1 hour. This Buzurg is 70 years of age, and he's got his hand clasped for 1 hour. He got tired, he pulled away his hand, and then Hazrat Shaykh al-Islam rahmatullah pulled away his hand. So the adherence to the sunnah, the firmness to the sunnah. See, Hazrat Muwatta Thanvi sahab rahmatullah alayhi says that the whole reason for this tasawuf is reformation, correction. And correction is what? Correction is to come onto the sunnah, right? So the whole essence is what? The whole idea is sunnah. So what they are asking you to do is just, it is an exercise to bring you onto the sunnah, whether it is shaking your head or making zikr loudly, etc., or doing some type of meditation, whatever. But what it is, it is just an exercise, and the exercise is aimed at what? To bring you onto the sunnah. So this is the whole essence of the tasawuf. The Sahaba Ikram didn't require this. Why they didn't require it? Because in that first meeting with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they were already there. Right? And we cannot say that we are already there. We cannot say that. Now imagine that adherence to the Sunnah, and there's an announcement that make hijrat, leave your hometown and move. And everybody's leaving. Imagine now Makkah Mukarrama was such a hometown, born and brought. Business are there, properties are there. And they're living there from the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, right? So it would be approximately over 3,000 years. And such people are told, give up your hometown and leave. And without looking back, no side glance, and they're leaving everything and moving. See that adherence. So in that first encounter, and that this is a level of commitment they are giving. Right? Now, do we have that level of commitment? See that hadith that he read, Nabi Sam pulled out that person's ring and threw it, right? And someone asked him, Khudha wantafi' biha, take it and use it in some other way, perhaps you can sell it and take the money. How can I do this? When Nabi Sam himself threw it away, can I pick it up? See the level of adherence. Talking about that other Sahabi is wearing some silken cloth unknowingly, and Nabi Sam corrects him, immediately it's pulled out and thrown into the fire. He doesn't even ask, Nabi Sam, what should I do? Can I sell it and take the benefits out of it? Like you ask someone, go and throw that, you know, that television you got, it's wrong. It's wrong. It's not permissible. So, what would be the immediate question? Say, how can I dispose of it? Do you find one single soul, say, you know, this phone called porn, all that, so it's not right. And then, do you find one soul who will take the thing and just bust that thing and throw it away? Do you find one soul? One person do you find that? Now, you see the Sahaba Kiram's reaction, response, and see your response. See our response. So, for us to come there, in line, somewhere at least behind the Sahaba Kiram, we have to go through this exercise, then we'll have that level of love. Now, we've got the word, but minus the love. So, we got the drink minus the flavor. Got a drink, but we don't have the flavor. Is that flavor going to sell? So that flavor has to be acquired. Once you got the flavor, then it will sell. So we mistakenly we think we've got the word, so we got the sunnah, we got it. Yes, we got this. Yes, we got the word, but the actual flavor and the essence of the sunnah, do we have it? It's a different thing, totally different. Essence is something else, and the sunnah is something else. We got the word, so we feel that we have got it. Whereas chalk and cheese, two totally different things. In every respect, the sunnah, in every respect, wealth, property, your person, your health, everything. What is the level of adherence? So that when you got that essence, then in its own, it will make you behave in a certain way. Of its own. You don't need a lengthy explanation, I must do this. No, you don't need that explanation. He's performing namaz in the in his garden, and the fluttering of some birds that is catching his attention. So, you know, this thing here, it's not worth me keeping in my position. Straight away, in the path of Allah Ta'ala. And that is coming right in the precincts of the haram that time. So if it was sold now, it would go for billions. Within the precincts of the haram. A big bag now, a big orchard right around the haram. But he won't hesitate in giving it away. Nabi Sam is seeing that person's home and it's a little bit raised, right? Called a tomb or something, a dome or something. And Nabi Sam is expressing his disapproval. And when he got to know about it, so he doesn't ask, Ya Rasulullah, but you know this is a home and the long term, I got it here with solid bricks. And it'll be economically more superior to do this. Doesn't ask any question. Comes out and demolishes. Do we have that? So to come into the spirit of the sunnah, they ask you to do some exercises. Do this. So the idea is to the rectification, correction. And the correction must bring you to the sunnah, because the sunnah is the standard. Right? But if someone has already got it, then he doesn't need the whole exercise. But now how many souls have it? How many souls have it? Person now, look how they behaved. Right? Sahaba is something very great. Even those that came after the Sahaba Kiram, one person, after several years, he collected so much of money. And now he's on the way to Hajj. So there's an incident, he sees someone going on to a dump, taking a dead carcass, and they're having that. So he inquired, he found out that these people are starving, there's no food for them for the last 3-4 days, so this allows them to eat this type of a carcass. So now, without batting an eye, without a second thought, takes out all that money that he had collected for Hajj, and he gives it to this person, and postpones that Hajj. Can we postpone something like this for an Umrah? Can we? Anyone? So you see where's the Sunnah and where we are. Where the Sunnah is and where we are. Here, we'll do it every year, every 6 months, 5 months. Yeah, I'm doing a great thing, I'm going here. But you see the spirit where it lies. And then it is shown to him that, see, there's so many people that made Hajj for this year. And it was your Hajj that was accepted. Whereas he had not participated in that Hajj. So many hundreds of thousands of people had participated in the Hajj. And it was your Hajj that was accepted because of the barakat of your Hajj. Then everybody else has gained his acceptance, right? But now look at it. See where they are and where we are. Can you see that? See that distance? So we aren't there, yet we assume that we are there already. So where's the mistake? The mistake is you just got the word. And because you got the word, we feel we got it. It's a huge, massive mistake. Bu Ali Sina is a founder of medicine, that's what they call him, right? Maybe he's not the founder, maybe he revived some practices in medicine. So he's got a very great name, right? Bu Ali Sina. So, one person, a Buzurg of the time, said, Bu Ali Sina Akhlaq Nami Darad. That Bu Ali Sina doesn't have the Sunnat Akhlaq in him, doesn't have the Sunnat in him. That Akhlaq, that character that is required and desired and encouraged in the Hadith, he doesn't have it. So when Bu Ali Sina, when he heard this comment, he wrote a volume on akhlaq, a big volume on akhlaq. True, very beautifully. He, as it is, he's a founder of medicine, so you can imagine if he's written a book, then what will be the level of his arguments, his presentation, and the beauty of his book. He wrote that kitab and he sent it up to that buzurg. So that buzurg says, Man nami goyam ke bu ali sina akhlaq nami danad. Man mi goyam ke akhlaq nami darad. I didn't say that he doesn't know akhlaq, I said he doesn't have akhlaq. Now, where our mistake is, because we have learned some kitabs, etc., or we're going to give a Jummah Bayan, for example. The Jummah Bayan is going to be on perhaps anger management, right? Or being patient and tolerant. So I made a full tahqiq, I gave a bayan. So then what I feel, I got the akhlaq. So knowing it is a different thing, and having it is a different thing. True, chalk and cheese, right? There's a dietitian, right? So he'll give you all the advice, all the nasihat, how to have the right diet. But he himself is so fat and obese, right? So it doesn't mean that he knows about dieting that he's a healthy person. Being a healthy person is a different thing. And knowing about good health is a different thing. True, chalk and cheese. This is a big, major discrepancy, big mistake. And we know about it and we think we got it. So getting to it, it's an effort. It's an effort that is required to get to this. See? So now, see this person is asking, as more Thanvi Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, that I have a little bit of ill feeling towards so-and-so person. So he knows that this is blackening the heart. Right? There is a spot in the heart. I need to rectify it. If you're going to leave it, I think it's just going to perpetuate He's going to cover the whole heart. My whole heart is going to get spoiled. Now he knows what the hadith says. قَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ إِلَّا مَنَتَ اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ And لَيْسَ فِي قَلْبِكَ غِشٌ لِأَحَدٍ You must spend your time night and day. That you don't have any ill feeling in your heart towards anybody. So now he knows about this thing. And he sees, when he sees within himself, I've got this. Right? I've got an ill feeling. I've got some dirty feeling in my heart against that person. So now he knows he don't want to destroy. He's not taking a chance. See, they took it so serious, like how if a doctor had detected that, you know, it's a tumor, it's cancer, and we're not sure, we still have to send it to the lab to find out whether this is cancerous or not. You know, I ask you, if the doctor just says this much, then what will be your demeanor like after that? Huh? I know cases where the person falls right into a depression, serious depression. They're still going to verify it, take it to the lab, find out whether it is cancerous or not. But the moment that news comes up, they're gone, class. Not talking, not eating, can't sleep. People are getting worried. So they take it so serious for a physical ailment. And a physical ailment is not going to bring you problems in the qabr. Not going to bring you problems in the akhirah. So you see how far you have distanced yourself from the hadith. See how far. Now these people, the concern that we have for our physical well-being, they had the same concern for their spiritual well-being. He detected that thing in his heart, so he reports it straight to him, I've got a problem, now what do I do? See, he's bringing it up. Now that's called that ittiba, that's called that sunnah, that's called that islah, that's called that suluk. Normally, shariat covers both the zahir and the batin, but now for our ease and purposes, the zahir, they call it the shariat, and the batin, they call it tariqat. But otherwise, shariat covers the both, includes the both. Because both are compulsory. Like rectifying the outer self is a requirement, obligatory. Rectifying the inner self also is an obligation. Now you got hasad, for example, and you don't rectify it, and you're going to be answerable for it. Ta'kul hasanat. It's going to eat you up, complete, it's going to eat you up already. So it becomes an obligation. Now, this person is awaiting Mullah's response. Right? That I got this problem here, and what do I do? Now look at Mullah's answer. Answer, see how beautiful it is. So, Mullah says, yeah, mujhe bhi kuch uske mutalliq kuch khayalat ho rahe the. This person here, and I also had some feelings, you know, some ill feelings, for a moment. But then I reflected. When I reflected, I felt perhaps the ill feeling is because of my weakness, not his weakness. The problem in me, some weakness in me, is creating a reservation against that person, not because of the problem that he's got. You know? So sometimes you can't see a thing because that thing in itself is not too clear, right? It's not too clear. The road is not clear, so you can't see it. And sometimes you cannot see it because you've got a problem in your eye. It's two reasons, right? It's misty, it's the whole road is very, very covered with mist. Right? So you can't see. And sometimes there's a problem in your own eyes. So the reason for the visibility being poor can be external and can be internal. You could be the problem. Right. So Mullah says, I've reflected very deeply. I felt, no, that's my inner problem. I've got a problem, and because I've got a problem, so I'm not seeing him right. Disku yarkan ki bimari ho gayi. Someone got yellow fever, right? So he's seeing everything yellow. So is there the flaw in the thing that he's seeing, or is the flaw within him? The flaw is not what he's seeing. The flaw is within him. But mistakenly, he assumes that is the problem. He's the problem. Now see, he sorted it out straight, cleared. Isn't it cleared now? So he thinks good of the brother. See, now I still have got a weakness. I need to rectify myself. See that? وَلَيْسَ فِي قَلْبِكَ غِشٌ لِأَحَدٍ So they're rectifying, correcting themselves. Straight. It's a continuous process, rectifying, correcting, rectifying, correcting. All the time. That's a continuous process. they're not feeling shy about correcting. One youngster, perhaps the Mulana, so he's writing up to Mulana Sahib that I have got pride in me. So Mulana checked him out and he felt that what he's saying is right. Mulana will not just take a statement like that, he will find out first. So he saw some symptoms, etc. And so now what this person says is right. Now, that's the one level. The second level now, sabku ek lati se nahi hangte. He doesn't drive everybody with the same stick, right? The same thing in English he said, different folks and different strokes. What? Different folks and different strokes. So now, you size the person and you look for a correction. How do you correct it? How do you rectify this? You've identified the problem, now go and rectify it. So it's two different things. Identifying, rectifying. Identifying and rectifying. You don't use one single stroke for every situation. See, Mulana is traveling in a train. Sometimes people are quote this incident here. But sometimes the listener is not right. Sometimes the person that is explaining it, he's not explaining it full. So you're not getting the right meaning of it, right? So Mulana is in the train with some other ulama, etc., whatever, Khadra Sahib and all that. Is namaz time, and as the namaz time approaches, so they are nearing one station, right? So in this train, sometimes you have a big stop and sometimes you have a small stop. Like now you're stopping perhaps in a very central place like Delhi, so the train will stop for about 15-20 minutes. A small place, Roorkee or something like that, 1-2 minutes and then move, 2-3 minutes and then move. So it's a big station now, they need to perform the namaz, so they will get off the train, make the wuzu and perform the namaz with jamaat. So it was a big stop. When it's a big stop, so they all... Now besides Mulana, is a Muslim man, and Mulana is talking to him very gently, lovingly, respectfully, no compromising in the respect whatsoever. Now they all got off for namaz, and this person, this gentleman, is still seated as he was seated early on. Khadra Sahib is saying, unko bata de, wo bare mohabbat ke saath, pyar ke saath, aap se baat kar rahe the. He's talking with so much of love and so much of feeling towards you. So advise him also to join. So Mohan said, kya wo musalman nahi hai? You jante nahi ke wo namaz farz hai? Doesn't he know? Hazrat, aap batayenge to aapki baat ko zarur sunenge. You will mention it to him because he's got that level of respect, so he will listen to you. So Mohan told him, see how Mohan is telling him, aapko itna dard ho, to aap khud bata de. Aapki maujudgi mein main kya kahun? Tum khamosh raho phir. So, they got up, performed the namaz, came back and took their seats. Khadra Sahib is reacting to this whole incident. He says, with this level of love, respect, and warmth that Mulana was speaking to him early on, he maintained the same level of warmth, love, and respect. Now, if someone doesn't know the psychology, how a man's psychology works, say, this is mudahanat. Straight away, pass him, hey, shoot him down. Mudahanat fi din. Anyway, Khadra Sahib says that I met up with this person here. After some year or 2 years, I met up with him. And now he's got a nice beard. And he actually came up to me and said, do you know who I am? I said, no, I don't know. I'm that person that namak haram, that all of you all got up and performed namaz. I just remained pretty seated there. So Khadra Sahib said, all right, but I see you've got a beard, all that. So, you know, that experience where Mulana showed me love, respect, warmth, etc., he didn't tell me a single word, right? And he came back and he maintained the same warmth, love, respect. Unki akhlaq se, main toh mar gaya. I died because of his akhlaq. I just died. I couldn't take it any longer. What warmth, what respect he showed me. So now, this person needed this type of a stroke for his correction. And this Hakimul Ummat understood it. Do we understand it? Now, we, what we do? Because, hey, Mudahanat Fideen. You could have told him. Why didn't you tell him? See. Now, for that, you need that type of understanding. By the same token, this is not a maxim to be used everywhere. You see anybody, don't call him for namaz because he'll become, you'll be pani ho jayega, namaz padne lagega. It's not a maxim for everybody to use. It's for that level of understanding. You got that level of understanding, then you apply it. You don't have that level of understanding, then you ask, you inquire. The idea is that you don't further distance the person. You're going to use an approach, and that person distances himself further from deen. So, no, maine apna kaam to kar liya, wo jaane apna kaam jaane. I have done my work. My work was to go and preach to him. He lost the path. That's his problem, his business. Is that keeping with the ayat of the Quran? فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِيٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ That concern Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had, so much of concern. Let's do it. مَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغِ Understand. See, this is what I'm talking about, the spirit of deen. And the spirit of deen has to be acquired from these people here. This one is the book knowledge, and one is the practical side of it. To understand it, why these people spend so much of time by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and thereafter people spend with the Sahaba Kiram and so forth, and why they spend so much of time. Ata is a great muhaddis, right? Great muhaddis, imam of hadith and tafsir. So, I think it was Yazid bin Harun or someone that is seeing him for that days that he was there. So this Yazid bin Harun is telling Atta, you know, I see in your gatherings, there's all types of people. Like in that day now, you're talking about you Rafidis, Shias, and Qadriya, Jabriya, Mu'tazili, all of them come there. But we see you, when you conduct your program, it's done with so much of respect and dignity, in a dignified way, respectful, and you are conducting your session so in such a dignified and respectable manner. No person is being criticized, no person is being condemned, and you're speaking to each one of them with so much of respect. Had it been me, I would have shot them down. This is a bidati, this is a rafidi, this is qadri, I should have shot them all down. So Atta rahmatullah alayh, that is an imam of tafsir and hadith, he says, don't do that. Don't do that. And then he says, when you see Allah Ta'ala is addressing the Bani Israel, إِذَا خَثْنَا مِثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِي شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. So Allah Ta'ala is taking a covenant from the Bani Israel. Right? Now, understand the Bani Israel. Allah is saying about them, لُؤِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, right? مِن بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ جَعَلَ مِنْهُمُ الْقِرَدَةَ وَالْخَنَازِيرَ, right? أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ أَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, right? So many things against the Bani Israel. But when Allah Pak is addressing the Bani Israel, if you're talking to your people, and your people are this class, that were transformed into apes, right? Swines, perpetual curse, right? So much of things against them. But when you're going to be talking to them, قُولُ لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنَى, speak to them gently, politely, respectfully. He's deteriorated, he's gone down, he's collapsed. It doesn't mean your discourse and your talking and your nasihat also must collapse. No. You maintain, قُولُ لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنَى. I ask you, do we have this sunnah in our lives? Do we have it? So, this association of these people here is in order to get that type of realization, and then this realization becomes natural in us. We just practice it. So it happens that Allah has made it such, okay, it doesn't happen just by reading. One is something that's just happening with reading, and one is with association, seeing, you know, you say audio-visual, right? I was quite surprised. We hear of the hadith, it's quite popular, right? Ammani Jibra'il in the Bayt. After Nabi Samet returned from Mi'raj, right? So for 2 days consecutively, Jibreel Islam had led the namaz. Nabi Samet is as though following, and Jibreel Islam is leading the namaz to show exactly how the namaz is done, right? So what was surprising me is the whole demonstration was done practically. And then in the same discussion, again it comes that even the wuzu was shown to me by Jibreel, but practically. Right? So some things are learned either through association or practical demonstration. You would have told him, do this, right? 3 times wash your face, do this. Everything could have been showed to Nabi, told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? But it's done practically. There must be some reason. In Abu Dawud Sharif, when the chapter of wuzu comes in, then there are approximately about 5 or 6 Sahaba Kiram who are practically demonstrating the wuzu to their students. Usman al-Ghani, Ali radiallahu anhu, Miqdad, and another 3 Sahaba Kiram who's doing the wuzu to their students practically. So you see this association and this practical demonstration, how important it is, wuzu or namaz. For namaz, Jibreel Islam is practically demonstrating it. So the need for this association, see this association, it doesn't just come through book knowledge, just reading, it doesn't come. It may have come for 1%, 2%, but that's not the qaida. The qaida is you associate, see, witness, be around. Eventually, those values, they pass from one to the other, to the second, to the third, and so forth and so on. This was always, and it will remain the same. Now, this person is complaining to Allah Ta'ala, says that I have got pride in me. Alim, and now I'm sizing him up, alright. First, I need to verify that this complaint that he's got, is it valid or not? Because sometimes it can be just an imagination that I've got pride. It may not be. He may be misconstruing something. Maybe someone shouted him and he got hurt, right? So he misconstrued it as pride. It may not be pride, it may be embarrassment. He got embarrassed now. I got in front of everybody now. Mera kya hoga? So he got embarrassed, and the embarrassment, he's misconstruing it as pride. So pride is a different thing, and embarrassment is a different thing. Embarrassment is, you don't like to be seen in that state. What? You don't like to be seen in that state. That's called embarrassment. It's something unusual, and you don't want to be seen. Say, for example, some filth came out of the nose, right? Right here, right by the lips. And if you got to know that someone knows about it, then how you'll feel? Hey, what they'll think of me? Don't you feel like that? So that's called embarrassment. That's a different thing. Right? Right. And pride is something else. The definition they give of pride, there's 2-3 things they give in pride. One is, in spite of knowing the truth, then too, you don't accept it. Batrul haq, right? You know it. In spite of knowing it, but you don't, your heart is not fully accepting it. As one time he says that he was in the Haram Sharif once, right? So one sheikh was discussing some masla, whatever it was, some hadith or some masla or something. So an Indian alim was seated there. So after the bayan was over, that Indian alim, he showed that Arab, that see, what you have, this is what you explain, and this is incorrect, this is the right explanation. This is the right explanation. Now, Murai is showing the response. So that sheikh had just completed his discourse, and his students were already scattering. So he shouted, hey, all come, you come back, all, and he shouted until he got his whole crowd back. A couple of good 100 he must have got, all back. So now, see how he corrects himself. He says, see, I explained this masla in this manner, and this masla is incorrect. And this Hindi Mulana, he rectified me, and this what he's saying is right. Right. I ask you, if it was one of us, how would we have rectified ourselves? First of all, we will try to justify our stance. What we said, oh, it's right. First of all, we'll try. Make some ta'wil, maneuver ourselves this way, that way, try and get that thing right. And for some reason, if we understood that we are wrong, we are genuinely wrong, then what we'll do? We will leave for the next day, and the next day we'll come to the class, and then we'll tell them, right, you know, this masla is like this. I checked the kitab, but it's like this. Right. Would you want to say it in this manner? Okay, this Indian Molana, he corrected me, and this is right, and I'm expressing. Would we have the heart to do it? So you see, there's some 1-2 cents that is short. See, in that sincerity or in not having that pride, we are short somewhere. That pride is there somewhere, lingering. Now, to have it at that level, see, I said it was wrong. And to do it straight away, one is to show this man didn't have pride. And number two, I would say, in my understanding, the istihzar that he had, the consciousness that he had of death. If death overtakes, then what happens? Yeah, I left something, I said something wrong. It was brought to my attention. And I didn't rectify it straight away. Ji, so mera kya hoga? So he not only didn't have pride, but he had the consciousness and the awareness of death. Once in Dioban, when you're a student, sometimes you're unmindful. So I had a whole stack of sajdai tilawat that I didn't do, about 30, 40, you know. So I just asked Mustafa, you know, I got a whole stack of sajdai tilawat now. And I asked him something. So he says, kya maut ka itminan hai? Do you feel secure against death? From that time now, I'm talking of 1976 somewhere, right? Till now, how many years now? Over 40 years, isn't it? From that time till now, if ever there's a sajda tilawat, a thing rings in my head. He says, kya maut ka itminan hai? So he created a mindset for me. You got something, an obligation, by do it. You don't know when you're going to live, when you're going to die. So you need to see that you are squared, you cleared up straight away. So this is called that islah. That islah then brings you to the sunnah. You see. So Mulana had to correct this young alim who says that I've got pride. And I said pride got two, three things in it, right? One is batarul haqq. To reject it. You know it. Heart is saying it's right. But now, log kya kahenge? Sabke samne mein apne aib ko batata hoon. To aib ko sabke samne zahir karna, ye to galat baat hai. So how many tabir will come into your mind? A lot of things will come. You'll block it out somehow. See? We won't want to reveal it as it is. The second thing in this pride is ghamtun nas, right? To despise. But now, this despise, what it means? What it means, if you got something, right, you cannot say you don't have it. Can you say that you don't have it? Like, you got 1 million and he's got 1,000. So you will have to say that I got more than him. Right? But saying that I got more than him, does that amount to pride? Does that amount to pride? Now understand the explanation Mona is giving, right? So he says, similarly now, for example, this person is an alim and this person is a jahil. So he can say that I am an alim and he is not an alim. So does that amount to pride? That doesn't amount to pride. Ye kehna ke main akmal hoon, ye to durust hai. That I know more. I am, in that respect, I am more. Albatta ye keh dena ke ye main afzal hoon, ye galat hai. Don't you say that you better? Yes, I know more. It's all right, because that's a fact. He can read Quran Sharif, but without tajweed. And you're reading as a Qari Sahib. So you can say your recitation is better than his, or your recitation is more perfect than his. But to say that because I can recite the Quran Sharif better, therefore I am better by Allah Ta'ala, that's wrong. This fun of Qirat, I know it more than him. But does that make you better in the sight of Allah Ta'ala? You can't say that. Yes, you can say I know it, and he doesn't know it. He's not a Qari. You can say that. Right? But to say that you are better, or to say that this, what I have got, this achievement that I have got, is self-acquired. I got it of my own. إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ indi. I've got it of my own. Or to feel that because of this I'm superior, that will amount to pride. But you think, no, I've got this and he doesn't have it, or I'm more learned in this respect and he's not that educated in that regards, that doesn't amount to pride. So that's the second thing. And the third thing is to understand that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not of your own. But even if you know that qiraat, or you have got that ilm, but you think, no, I worked for it, and it's my achievement, you know, my sweat, my hard work, I've got this. Not that attitude. هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I've got, is not of my own. The blessing of Allah ta'ala that I've achieved this. Right? So if you got these three things, and you feel that you know more than him, then that will not amount to pride. So how this pride works? Now, the person that is working, he needs to understand the whole pride, how it works, what it is all about, right? So this young alim says to Mawlana that I got pride. The Mawlana has to correct him. So Mawlana tells him, all right, you know what? You write to me 5 letters once every month or something, and you write that you've got this problem. Because pride is a destroyer. It destroys everything. Everything it destroys. Ummul Amraz is a root of all sins, right? Pride. Shaitan, was he short of anything? Ibadah, anything? Was short. He got that Ummul Amraz, and what he did to him. You know, I spoke about the 5 different types of kufr, and I told istighbar. That istighbar led him to kufr. That kufr, but what was the catalyst to that kufr? Istighbar, that pride. So, what a destroyer this thing is. So, Ma'a told him, you know what? You write 5 letters, this is your problem. First 1 month, second month, third month. Around the 4th month, now he writes to Ma'a, now I don't have it, alhamdulillah. I don't have that. What I had initially, now alhamdulillah, nothing is erased, it's cleaned up. So, Ma'a has to size the person up, identify the problem, size the person up, and then look for a prescription that is suitable for him. Now the thing got cleared out. See? So we're still doing Tawheed fil Ibadat and Tawheed fil Istianat. The third point is Istiqamat. And then there is, then after that, then there is In'am after that. Sirat al-Lathina an'amta alayhim. Inshallah, some of that happened.